Vanoita seko vana mukoma. Vanoita seko vana sisi.
Social Conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO. In accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify that a meeting is being held.
Go to kboo.fm/wakeup to support KBOO during our Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive by grabbing limited edition KBOO merch. You can support local community radio in style with your choice of t-shirt and hoodies in pavement black, snow white, oregano green, cherry red, and sandy beach. That's kboo.fm/wakeup to get yours before they're gone.
Rise them up, KBOO 90.7. You don't know it's your girl, Tasha T.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO FM. And now it's time for Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a space for students from Portland Community College experiencing disabilities to discuss perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. We broadcast biweekly on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA. And bi-monthly right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Today is the first Friday of the month, so that means we're having a live roundtable discussion with the Let's Talk Podcast Collective. As a reminder, the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO FM. My name is Carrie. I am the Air Room board operator and one of the producers for Let's Talk. And inside the studio with me is Asher, Miguel, Amanda, and TJ. Say hi, everyone.
Hey.
What's
good
up?
Good morning, what's up, Portland.
What's up? Good
Say
morning,
hi,
everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Don't be afraid. It's just
Very
live
good
radio.
Morning.
Why would you be nervous about that?
Welcome, welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Oh, man. So today, we're going to talk about fall. And with the exception of a recent heat wave, fall is definitely in the air. It's also known as Virgo season for anyone who follows astrology. So it's time to get organized. This is the time all students are getting ready to go back to school And for many, this means it's an exciting time where maybe you get to pick out a few new outfits, or a fresh backpack, or all the pencils and blank notebooks you can fill up over the year. And you begin to look forward to seeing your friends again after all summer of being separated. For so many of us, though, going back to school can be really, really scary. If you're a first-time college student, you might be entering a new environment and feel a little intimidated because you don't know what to expect. If you're an older person like me returning to school, it is possible that you might be concerned with balancing your responsibilities to your children or your family, finding time to work and pay all your bills, and not to mention the extra cost and finances that it takes to, you know, improve your educational resume and take classes. And for folks with disabilities, which, by the way, is us, even after you pass all of these particular barriers to entering education, there still might be some obstacles that you need to overcome to make your academic career satisfying and fulfilling and complete. Everyone's lived experience with disabilities are unique and particular, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution to making a curriculum material accessible or a classroom accessible. And there's no correct way to ask for help if you're struggling. In an article written by Liz Welding in 2023, she cites a research study, several research studies that say six-year graduation rates of students with disabilities at four-year colleges is 49.5%, compared to roughly 68% for students without disability. Only 37% of students report their disability to their college, and between 15 and 43% of students who do report their disability don't receive accommodations from their school. And that's super, super unfortunate. Yeah. So at PCC, we have begun to really recognize and engage with this struggle. And luckily, PCC has taken some steps to make going to school as pain-free as possible. We want everyone to love engaging with education and not fear it. So to destigmatize the process of asking for special accommodations related to disabilities, or even if you're just struggling in class, we'd like to share some before and after stories of our own accommodation processes at PCC and our higher education experiences. Do we all have stories of struggling in class, like thanks to our disability?
I definitely do.
Oh, God, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yes, of
just
course.
A little.
Just a little, right?
Just a little.
Does anybody have a story that comes to mind immediately?
Go for it, Amanda.
So I run the Let's Talk Autism podcast. I'm the host and producer, and I have done quite a few episodes kind of talking about this, especially with one of my own experiences. And I wasn't diagnosed with autism until I was 31. And before I was diagnosed, I had one professor who basically called me out in front of class for not knowing how to do a kinetics rate problem. And the way she was presenting it was through this complicated Algebra 2 problem that she, for some reason, broke up between the class. And in my part, I did not know how to do it, and I had repeatedly asked for help. And instead of, like, showing me an example like I had asked for, she paused the class for, like, 10 or 20 minutes as I repeatedly told her I did not know how to do it, and that the answer was not going to magically pop into my head.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah. And it's like, I was like just so upset that I just almost quit general chemistry 3 that day. I'm not kidding. And oh, you guys.
I love it when instructors just look at you like,
yeah,
like you're pretending not to know. You know what I
mean? Almost like you grew a second head or something.
Yeah. another thing. Well, I actually ended up talking to her later about it with an ADA representative, and she thought she was helping me because she thought she was, like, giving me time to, like, come to the answer. I'm not kidding, you guys.
Mm.
But even after I got diagnosed and got accommodations, I got a lot of professors who kind of assumed that they knew how to help me because they were either just had autism themselves, or they were neurodivergent in some way, or they had a relative that had some kind of neurodivergent condition, and therefore that made them an expert on the subject, and I apparently did not know what I was talking about with my own experience. So that's kind of been my, it's been a very interesting experience in that regard.
TJ, this is your first time in KBOO studios.
It is. Mm-hmm.
What about you? Do you want to share a story? Because you're kind of a cultural, you're a community disability ambassador between PSU and PCC. Yep. We've got a nice pipeline between PCC and PSU, transfer degrees, and there's programs for education, and we share a lot of resources between PSU and PCC.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, tell us about your experience.
So, for just as a little bit of context, just as a little bit of context, my disability did not come at birth. Mine came at 24. Mm. So part of the thing that I had to learn through that disability was, where is my energy level and how can I work with that? Because I have neuropathy in all limbs. I have heavy nerve damage. Mm. I'm about 57% nerve damage right now.
Yeah.
And the big thing is, when you have that kind of nerve damage, you run out of energy very quickly. Mm. And if you run out of energy, you usually have to recharge. You run out of time. Mm. So the worst time I had was, we were going through Algebra 2. And it was just something where I had a nasty bout where I was laid up for about a week. Two teachers, they understood, hey, we'll give you 3 days. Can you make that work? Yes, I can make that work. Thank you. That last teacher made it a battle.
Mm.
Because, well, you should have been on time. You should have done this way. It doesn't matter if you're tired or not. This is the way it has to be.
Wow.
And it got to a point where it's like, okay, we can have this discussion maybe with a few other people from the school involved. And it almost got to a point where I had to argue my grade.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
So.
What was the solution? How did you overcome this?
So, I'm very short-tempered.
I don't know. Never have I ever. Are you kidding? That's sarcasm for anybody from Pacific Northwest.
And for those who know me, it's like, okay, yeah, TJ, you need to holster your mouth sometimes. So it's just one of those things where I have to be careful. And we talked about it, and after a while, just having a breath,
yeah.
Me and the teacher came back together. It's like, okay, here's where I did wrong. Mm-hmm. Here's where you did wrong. We both looked at it. It's like, yeah, we both made mistakes here. We both could have done that better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to shake hands and just call it, we both screwed up? Yeah, I think that's a pretty good setup.
Wow.
Oh.
And we just shook hands, and yeah. I took his class again. No problem.
Yeah.
Because we understood, we had that rapport after, yeah. Hey, this may happen.
Gosh. No. You know, I'm happy that you did reach a resolution, but it's always, people don't, I think, appreciate like the effect on your central nervous system, on your psychology, when you actually have to get to a point of being triggered. And it's not, you know, as somebody with cognitive disability, I have CPTSD, I have ADHD, like mad impulse control. So I know what you're talking about with, like, if you're in your feelings, it's so hard to maintain, let's just say it, professionalism, you know? Mm-hmm. And people don't understand the disability of lacking control of your central nervous system and feeling like you're in survival mode, like when you're just having a conversation about grades.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that, like, this conversation has to get to that point to reach a resolution. It's real hard.
Oh, yeah. And just, you know, even when it comes to stuff like extracurriculars.
Yeah.
I will push myself sometimes because I remember where my energy was,
mm-hmm.
when I was without the nerve damage.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me anymore. So I have to, as I say, play a different way.
Mm.
For those who don't know, Paul Heyman, wrestling promoter, had a great line. Find your strengths, find your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Use your strengths to hide your weaknesses.
Mm.
And I've been trying to use that line, and it's been a little bit better than, you know, just trying to force the issue.
It reminds me of a concept we use in ADER at PCC. And by the way, ADER stands for Accessible Education and Disability Resources at PCC. And that's the department we all work in as collective members. And Here's another acronym for you. It's EAP. E-E-A-A-P.
Yeah.
And it's, it's like education. I had it written down yesterday, but it's like educational appropriate accommodation. Yeah, it's like education.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like something educational, something appropriate accommodation, like program. And it basically is talking about kind of a flexible term in the cloud.
I think the second E is environment. educational environment
appropriate.
We'll
follow up with that on the webpage.
Yes.
But basically it means that looking for accommodation means looking for educational equivalent accommodation, appropriate accommodation program. And so it's looking for a similar access channel to achieve an equitable result, you know. And so it's like education is never one size fits all.
For sure.
Like accommodation is never one size fits all. What matters is the big picture, looking at graduation rates, looking at educational and classroom experience. Do somebody feel respected? Does somebody feel like they're getting their tuition dollars worth when they receive an education? They're not just being handed a worksheet or a shortcut. Like, no, we all genuinely want to learn the material. Mm-hmm. And providing alternatives that teach the same material and achieve an equitable outcome is an appropriate accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
And not all accommodations look the same. So that's kind of what your turn of phrase reminded me of. Miguel, I'm sure you've got some awesome stories.
quite a few, actually. Well, my experience taking accommodations, you know, I'm a first generation student, and so I've had to learn from trial and error and what works for me and what doesn't work for me and learning. One thing that really helped me starting classes at PCC was extended deadlines, because it takes me much longer with, so for listeners and the new people that don't know, I'm blind, and so for me, it takes me much longer to get things done due to having to listen to everything and use software that's called the screen reader. And sometimes you will have a lot of technology issues and you have got to be patient with yourself. Sometimes, you know, alternative text doesn't get you on time and you get it like last minute and had to figure it out. Okay, which page is this on? And does this have semantic headers?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that, like, if a screen reader can jump by blocks of text.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be super frustrating sometimes. And it takes me, like, it could take someone sighted 30 minutes. It can take me like 3 or 4 hours just to complete that task. And so,
perfect example. Like so many instructors use PowerPoint presentations, and there's, you know, there's the obvious disabilities. Like, oh, if you're sitting in the back of the class and you're nearsighted, you can't see, then, you know, a very obvious and easy accommodation is like move the student to the front of the class. A lot of people don't realize that digital content accessibility for students like Miguel and other blind students who use screen readers, Google Slides need to be actually formatted and laid out in a certain way so that things read in a logical order as you tab through them. And a lot of instructors don't realize that, because most of our society is centered around visual language. Like, whether or not we realize it, we talk so much and we see so much that it's just a given. But kind of moving through it, it would be so confusing if you read like all of the information before you even read the header, right? And sometimes you have to rearrange how you put things on a slide, in what order, and then you go back and make sure it is read in order by a screen reader. And very simply, many instructors don't realize that at first. They've worked very hard on their curriculum. And so it's frustrating, of course, not only for Miguel, but for the instructor who was never taught about accessibility and creating content curriculum that is accessible for all users. So that's where Aider comes in. We've got a huge team in Aider. We've got alt format technicians. We've got, you know, people who can transcribe textbooks and papers into Braille and tactile graphics and all sorts of stuff. But it takes time. None of it's just, you know, magic. So it does take time, and that's where extended deadlines can come in. That's where open-mindedness and flexibility with teaching styles can come in, and accommodations. Most of the country, most academic institutions still rely on a medical-based model of accommodations where you go to your doctor verifies, you know, because they're a professional in your experience, they verify what your disability is, and then you take that to the disability office, and then they have a list of approved accommodations according to what your specific disability is. But it doesn't take into account all of the other struggles that you might encounter that are not directly related to your disability, but might be tangentially so. So that's why building a community around understanding and access and inclusion is so important, and kind of what we're now focusing on in building new curriculums at PCC and moving forward with our teaching styles. We've got lots of different ways to attend PCC, all sorts of fun stuff. So how has been your experience in getting those accommodations met, Miguel?
It's been, you know, pretty smoothly, I would say, for most part. I mean, there was one class where I, for example, was QuickBooks, and I really struggled with it because a lot of it's like trying to find where it is, and so it just took me way too long. And I was, you know, super frustrated when I didn't pass it, because I was like, it was just like a very difficult experience. Yeah. That I wish I could have done how to do it again, but yeah. It's definitely a learning experience.
It's a learning experience, and anybody out there, Portland is more and more becoming like a tech town. So for any software developers out there, like, develop those like understandings of ARIA tags and accessible like software models, like all of these things. Like, do your accessibility checks before you put it out on the market, because QuickBooks is a widely used software for business, and, you know, not making that software accessible to disabled users not only like cuts into the market of people who are able to purchase and use your software, but it like cuts like opportunities off for people.
Yeah.
Ash, you got any stories?
Not stories from the States.
I'm
originally from Asia, or had most of my education in Asia, and I did a show with Amanda about this. While I was living in Asia, 10, 11-year-old me was studying in a public school. And the public school system, I'm not going to say which country, wasn't very... It was very competitive, I would say. Right. And the teachers weren't nearly paid enough to like deal with like individual students, like what their learning issues is and what their learning type was. And there was never like an ADER office or anything, like an accessibility office, right, in the public schools that I went to. So my poor parents had to end up finding tutors for me for a lot of the subjects that I did, just so I wouldn't flunk class. So it was a very difficult time for me. And now that I've grown up, and now that I know that I have ADHD, everything just starts to make sense. I'm like, oh, that's why I was that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, coming here to the States and then going to PCC and having that like accessibility office and someone to reach out to whenever I had an issue with like schoolwork, or a writing tutor to go to whenever I had to write a paper and I was struggling to just get words out from my head. That was like very helpful for me. And yeah, I love it.
PCC is special. I'm like TJ. I grew up not realizing I had a disability, and I grew up in the Southeast United States. And so I think disability has a much different, less cultural definition and more literal, more medical. And so people would see me as able-bodied and they're like, you're not disabled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
know. And I never realized that I had a disability until I moved to Portland and I got diagnosed with CPTSD and ADHD eventually. But I remember when I started taking classes at PCC, it was during the pandemic, hugely stressful time for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. It was, gosh, awful. It was hard.
So hard. And
like, bless their hearts, all my instructors in my first term during the pandemic, like, I would have regular emotional meltdowns and breakdowns, like, because I was not only stressed about just existence, but trying to reach these new expectations that I had set for myself and finding the material challenging and coming back to school after such a long break in between. And it was one of my instructors, actually. I was one of those blessed students who didn't have to chase after an instructor to help me. They noticed I needed help. And they connected me to disability services at PCC, and I met my counselor, still one of my favorite people. And that's how I got my first accommodations. And it wasn't anything extreme. I think the accommodations I asked for were mostly, yes, extended deadlines, but I think I rarely used that one. The one that I used the most was having frequent communication check-ins, because in my blind panic, you know, I lose focus of what I'm actually doing, and that can spiral, and you lose functionality when you're constantly worried. And so having regular check-ins to say, like, yep, this is what you're doing this week. Yep, you are right on time with this. You are right on track. You're doing this right. That's all I needed to hear. Mm. It really soothed me. And as you know, I don't mind admitting that on air. I need soothing sometimes because I am super high strung when I get stressed out. And so that was really, really unique to me. For the first time ever in my college experience, I had that at PCC. And just a quick reminder, KBOO is also a super duper special place, helping shape this experience for me, the collective, lots of other people. And we're in the middle of a membership drive. So if you're interested, please support KBOO's membership drive today. You can go to kboo.fm/give to become a monthly sustaining member. And we've got just about 5 minutes left. Anybody have some wrap-up thoughts, like anything, advice to give when asking for accommodations?
I would say, like, do not be afraid to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid to reach out. And one lesson that I learned is that wherever, if you plan to go into higher education, no matter where you go, go through their disability support services office first, mm-hmm. because that's who you're going to deal with. Through your higher education, if it's PCC or anywhere else, it's really good to know how those, building those relationships, how that's going to help, you know, for anyone, you know, who does Running Start or any student, you know, taking that opportunity to go and see the office and see what resources you have available and what you will need per se. That's really good to know. And not knowing what you need is okay, too. That's totally fine as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also say disclose. This is what I do. A lot of people aren't comfortable with this, but I always disclose my disability to my instructors early on in the term, even before I ask for accommodations, because I want to establish clear communication with them, and I also want them to know that the discussion for my disability is always open, and I'd rather discuss it with them than them kind of guessing what I need, or guessing what I need based on my paper, what my paperwork says, and or just like doing a Google search on autism and just making assumptions based on their first search result.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
I think one of my biggest tips, if I may, is especially if you're transferring from community college to university, you're going to be working with multiple departments. Sometimes one department will know something that the other may not have had to grapple with yet. So it's nice to know, okay, I've already gone through this at X. I could take that information, and Y can look at it and go, we can get this going now too. Whether it be from community college to university, state college, private college, just having that history to go from makes things a lot easier when you transfer.
On that note, for any new students who are planning on joining PCC, on the website that we have up, we have these amazing links that we've all put together for accessibility and for, and if you want to check us out, pcc.edu/DCA. Yeah.
Definitely find community. Like, my experience being disabled really, really, really changed once I started hanging out with other people who also have disabilities. Doesn't matter what your disability is, even though we're all unique, we all have different accommodations, different experiences. Like, I think the common understanding that we all have is that, like, sometimes things are hard, y'all. Yeah. Like, real, real hard. And so having that extra compassion, you know, in your social group was the biggest difference for me. And I'm really super grateful to have experienced that, like, just in general. But yeah, it's everywhere at PCC. It's a super disability friendly place. And as Asher said, we do have a lot of amazing links up on our kboo.fm show page, as well as on our website at pcc.edu. So if you're interested in taking classes at PCC, don't forget that the registration deadline for the fall term is going to be September 11th. And I'm not sure how financial aid works with FAFSA and stuff like that. You might, if you need to fill out a FAFSA, maybe you'll start in the winter term, but definitely worth checking out, doing a little bit of research. And yeah, with that, I want to say thank you all for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Once again, you can find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. You can also find the linked resources on today's episode page hosted on kboo.fm. Do a search for Let's Talk. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resources Department, PCC Multimedia Department, and KBOO. We post newly recorded content biweekly on our home website, and we hope you always tune into our shows here on KBOO every first and fourth Friday of the month at 9 a.m. Don't forget to go to kboo.fm/give.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Independence. Not being subject to another's authority or jurisdiction. Grassroots. The common or ordinary people. KBOO.